just fucking with people's heads. Alright.
Alright, guys, welcome to the show. This is Into the Apocalypse. No Deborah today, but
aww,
she is standing somewhere probably about 50 feet from me right now.
Oh, shit, is she visiting?
Yeah, they're up here. She's out in the fifth wheel right now.
Now that you have AC, she's like, yeah, I can come visit.
Yeah, it's hot. It's funny because they're from like the Bay Area where it doesn't get that hot. But you figure, they think of like California, but they're up here and they're like, man, we're not used to this Oregon heat.
Mm. Sounds backwards, but.
Yeah. But yeah, it's, I don't really notice that much anymore because I can always come back inside and cool off pretty quickly. So
yeah, it's great.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a beautiful end of the summer day here, man.
What you guys temping today?
90.
Yeah, we've been staying around 80 all day. Yeah. We had a couple kind of cooler days. It was kind of nice. It was awesome. Yeah,
we did too. It was in the 70s, low 70s a couple of days. It was great. It's getting cold at nighttime and in the morning it was like 50 degrees this morning when Emily left for work. So
oh wow, sweet. Yeah. I haven't seen it down that low yet, but yeah, it's coming. The weather is changing. We're almost into September now. Fall's around the corner.
Yeah,
everything's changing.
Yeah, and then we're into that never-ending Pacific Northwest rain cycle.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's I don't like thinking about it too much. I try to tell myself that I don't mind it that much, but then a few months in, it starts getting a little rough.
Wears on you.
Yeah. But yeah, it's been so hot. It gets so hot in the day here that I got to go do all my hay stuff. I still have bales out in the pasture. My neighbor said I could keep everything. So I got like 200 bales of hay in my barn, which is pretty awesome to get me through the winter.
That's great.
Yeah, but I got to go get a couple. I don't have a trailer or anything like that. I got it so I can put 17 bales into my truck.
That's pretty good for a pickup truck.
Yeah. Three rows of five and then two on the sides.
You've played some Tetris in your time.
Yeah. Yeah. It was funny because when I first started, like my first loads were like 10 and I was like, oh, I could probably put one more on top, you know, and that kept going and going and going and going. So.
Then you get to where you do 20, you're like, I got this, and then it all falls out on you.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, I can get 17 without having to tie anything down, so that's good news.
Yeah. Man, I've been mowing today. I'm mowing the big field. I'm probably close to halfway through, 17 and a half acres total.
Yeah.
And it is taking me longer than I want it to because my tractor keeps freaking overheating.
Oh, really?
And I'm a little worried because I just drained all the fluids and did all that stuff. I'm a little worried that it's something that I'm overlooking something that I did. I tighten the fan belt, for instance. I don't know. Maybe I made it a little too tight or something, but I've never mowed. This is the first time this year I've mowed out there, and there's way more seeds than ever. So my whole grill is just getting completely matted with a carpet of that kind of stuff.
So it doesn't have a radiator, right?
It's got a radiator.
It's got a radiator. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I've just been having to stop and brush those off. I can get like maybe like 15 minutes in and then I brush off and then I can do that like four times. And after about an hour, I got to drive back to the house and blow everything out because it's so far up in everything. And then it keeps cooling down. So I don't think I messed up, but it's kind of hard to judge when this keeps happening. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I hate that feeling of like doing something for the first time and not knowing what the hell's going on with it, you know.
Right.
So yeah, I gotta do a bunch more work on the well. I'm sure I'll feel that for a little bit afterwards. So
right.
Yeah, I went to Harbor Freight and got a new shallow well jet pump for it. So I gotta install that thing.
Mm-hmm.
See how the Harbor Freight one does.
So. Yeah. It's I used to call that place. I sometimes call that place Hazard Fraught.
Yeah,
like, it's good for what it's good for, but it's not the most quality stuff, you know.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes out of the same factory as the stuff you get at Home Depot.
Yeah, right.
So I have pretty good luck with it. I really love that place. So
yeah. Oh, I do too. Don't give me.
Yeah,
I'm not dogging on it in a negative way.
Yeah.
But it is, like it's perfect. It's really perfect. If you need a specialty tool that you use once a year, you know, you're not using it on a job site where you use it 20 times a day or whatever, then it's perfect. It's also great for toolboxes, you know, storage, stuff like that, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's where like my air compressor's from and my Vice and, you know, like my Vice, I think, is the perfect example of their stuff versus any place else. Just about any Vice you get has four bolt down spots. Yeah. Theirs has three.
Yeah.
So, you know,
that's how they save that money.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyways, guys, we are Value for Value show. We don't have any sponsors right now. Like I said,
you know, we never shouted out. Max gave us a good donation.
Oh, right. Yeah.
You should mention that. He was at my place yesterday. We had a little potluck. It was awesome. Cool. Great dude. We of course appreciate that donation.
Yeah. Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. And let's see, we have an executive producer donation for this show. Not executive producer, associate producer donation from, let's see, that is from CJ Preisendorfer. Thank you for the donation, bro. Appreciate it. And we'll get you listed on this the show notes for here. So but other than that, what else is going on? I should ask you what if we're going to do a bunch of shows, just you and I, what do you want to get into?
Well, I love ancient history and space most.
Yeah.
You know, that's my bread and butter.
Yeah.
But I'm into everything. But when we're talking shows with just us, you know, it's hard for me to say anything too far outside of those. Cause I don't even feel like I'm an expert in those things, but I feel like I can hold my own much better on those subjects. Otherwise, and even within those, it's really just wild speculation when you're talking to me.
Yeah.
What about you?
I don't know what I would like to get into. I like doing a lot of geopolitics stuff, but I think that's best suited. The stuff that's not super duper crazy is best suited for Deborah and I, because we can kind of, and then I think like when we want to get into real weird stuff, it's fun to do it with you. So I'm not quite sure what I'd like to get into. Let's see. What have we done recently? It was kind of nice to hear. I got a bunch of feedback on the giant episode, and yeah. I wasn't very happy with my performance on it. So I thought people wouldn't enjoy it that much. And then I got actually some decent feedback from it. So I think I'm just hard on myself sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. But yeah, I like the ancient history stuff. I'd like to get into extraterrestrial stuff. I'd like to get into alternate alien theories.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I probably believe in extraterrestrials, but I don't believe in aliens from outer space.
Okay.
But I am willing to listen to anybody tell me any theories about it. So
yeah, I'm really, really open about it, but it's probably the thing I have the hardest time with out of all the conspiracy stuff. You know, I was just thinking the other day of like, sometimes there's people that we can talk to forever about one thing or another, but say flat earth or dinosaurs, as we've seen recently, is going too far for some people. But you know, honestly, for me, that's aliens. Like aliens is always going too far. I love ancient past, but as soon as you say aliens, I feel like you're copping out, right? Like that's not, I feel like it's like you're given an answer that you'll never be able to answer or whatever.
Yeah.
You'll never be able to prove you or will be proved or something like that, which is good. Like, I think I need to work on that more, because that's more of a challenge. You know, I want to be confronted with people who believe fully in even outer space, extraterrestrial aliens flying around and flying saucers and coming down here, which I think is super gay. So convince me that it's not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that's what I struggle with a lot is the people that I look up to the most in this as like podcasters and researchers, are people that can be confronted with things that they think are like super duper fake and gay and still have like a positive, kind interaction and like polite back and forth with people. Like, first one I heard to do that was Billy Ray Valentine. That's why he appealed to me so much. And then Ryan Dean is really, really good at it. Really good at like talking to people that he doesn't agree with, but he can hold his own like pretty well because he does a lot of research too. So he went on Grimerica and like had a really good back and forth with Graham about like how gay the new age is, you know, and Graham's like all new agey.
Was that recently?
Yeah, just like pretty last it was I think it was on Do You Get Grimerica Outlawed?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on Outlawed.
Oh, cool. I'm so far behind on podcasts. I have not been listening as much as I'd like to this whole summer.
Yeah.
I've been listening to more music and otherwise. I think it's good for me, but I get that FOMO, that fear of missing out sometimes, and this is a good example. Yeah, I haven't clicked on there to see what's new for a little while, so yeah,
Yeah.
I'll listen to that tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm I get inundated with so many podcasts all the time now and stuff. So I got my the ones I gotta listen to are No Agenda, No Matter What. I listen to both episodes every week.
Yeah.
And OBDM. Those are the two that I don't miss.
Right.
I usually don't miss Tim Dillon and Come Town. Those are probably the ones I listen to on a regular basis the most, but they're also the ones that have, and you know, like this is something that I should take note of. Those are the guys that have a schedule. They come out with a show on the same day every week. So I'm
So
like, wait,
you can
I'm waiting
plan
for
on
it. Yep.
it.
And I don't do that. I've been real bad about getting stuff out. I mean, we're both busy, you know. It takes me, it's not the hardest thing in the world because I don't do a ton of editing, but it takes me an hour to put out a podcast, you know. I got
Yeah.
to convert it and then put it on Audacity and put all the music to it and then download it and write the stupid description and stuff. So, but I think if maybe if I start doing that, people, I think that, and I've heard people that are like really into the science of download numbers and stuff that say that that's what you got to do to make it consistent,
Stay
you know?
consistent.
Yeah. So.
That makes sense, 'cause yeah, I listen to No Agenda, but not so regularly. But OBDM, I do, and it's nice to know which days those are going to be there. Same with another one that I'm quite loyal to is I always listen to the Monday Night Master Debaters,
Oh yeah, I
and
get that one every
that's
week too.
awesome. That's every Tuesday. It's right there for me.
Yeah. Yeah, those are all good ones, man. Yeah, I think I'm gonna do a show with Bob and Matt tomorrow. So
Oh,
I'm
cool.
excited for that.
Yeah. Oh, Bob's another one that I stay pretty on top of, but he's not consistent like that. I don't think.
Yeah.
It doesn't come across like I don't notice his consistency if it is
Yeah.
on release times.
Yeah.
I've been digging his Break from the Abnorm.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm doing tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
So I
Yeah,
think
that'll
him and I and Matt Terlon. So that should be
excellent.
fun.
I've been
Yeah.
listening to Matt all day, man. His Jim Mars, the Fourth Reich
Yeah, I listen to all
stuff.
that.
Whew,
Yeah.
it's heavy duty.
Yeah, if you should listen to the episode that Deborah and I just did with Tony Arterburn. I put it out yesterday or today. I can't remember, but
Yeah,
it's
I
a good
saw
one.
that this morning, but I
Yeah.
didn't snag it yet.
Yeah, we talk in there about David Knight, who used to be on InfoWars, who just has like a podcast now. And Tony Arterburn fills in for him a lot. And he talks about the fourth turning.
Yeah.
And that's pretty spot on, I think, to like what's going on right now.
I like the fourth turning. That's the strong men create good times create
I
weak
didn't
men.
I didn't have Tony didn't explain it to us in those words, but that makes sense that
But
that's where
the
that came
concept.
from. Yeah, it's a turning is or whatever, I forget what he called the whole thing, but it's 80 years and each turn is 20 years. So we'd be in the fourth turn of that 80 years right now.
Right.
And he said, like, if you follow it back, you can go 80 years back. Like, what was 80 years ago? Like World War II, and then before that, it was like the, I forget.
Great
We did. We
Depression,
yeah. Like it goes back, and you can always like.
which it stays in the, because the way I always remember it is like it's that good, strong men create good times create
Weak men.
weak men create
Hard
bad
time.
times, and then bad times create
Hard
strong
men.
men.
Yeah.
And then it repeats. So, you know, if you're looking at like the Depression era, those are bad times. And the strong men come out of that fighting World War II and being so full of themselves and make good times. And then eventually that turns to the hippies who
Boomers.
become the weak people, and they create the bad times that we're in now, hopefully creating the strong men, which would be like my sons.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens with that. But yeah, it was cool. We got to talk. I'm the one thing that I want to get into a whole bunch is like I think that we could have a fun time with if we're just trying to have fun and not get too serious, but talk get into some serious stuff is I'm into like all that 1990s like AM Patriot Radio, Bill Cooper, 90s conspiracies, man.
Yeah.
So like black helicopters over America. Today we're hopefully our guest shows up. We're gonna do deep underground military bases, which was 90s stuff and all that like NWO. The original the first run of what they called, white nationalist patriot terrorists,
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny that that's like being replayed right in front of our eyes, and nobody really even remembers that they've already done, they already tried it.
They
They
already
already
tried this one.
did it. We've already seen this one before.
Yeah.
Simpsons did it, like, yeah. So in the 90s, we had Ruby Ridge and Waco and Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City is big on that list.
Yeah, I remember when I was obsessed with the siege at Waco when I was a little kid,
Were you
and
like while it was happening? You
yeah,
were like watching it on the news every night.
I was really, really, really into it. My sister, who's like 3.5 years older, she had a boyfriend, and he was going away to college at Baylor University, and that's in Waco, Texas. So he went on, he was like a real good soccer player. So he went to on like a recruiting trip there when he was in high school still. They took him out there and like got him drunk and like showed him hot chicks probably and stuff to make him go there. And he came back and he had like this shirt that he bought for me because I was so into the David Koresh stuff, and it was like a caricature shirt. That was like a drawing of like the compound with like all this wacky stuff and like fires and stuff going on. It
Sweet.
was a messed up shirt, but
Yeah.
I loved it. And it's I remember it said like that wacko from Waco ain't coming out and like all, yeah.
Sounds like you don't have that anymore. That's too bad.
Yeah, I wish I still had it. I don't think it fit, but I don't have it anymore. And then yeah, I think. Yeah, I remember at one point my dad told me I wasn't allowed to wear it anymore. But yeah, I'd love to get into a bunch of that old stuff. So hopefully we'll do
Yeah.
that. Yeah, and on Tony Arterburn's show, he's the same age as me, but he's doing on his show like he'll take 1 year and do a whole show about it. And he did 1979, the year that we were born, so it was pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, and
Yeah, I like that concept. Put those that parameter on it of just focusing on one year, but then anything within that year.
yeah,
Yeah.
1979, a lot of stuff happened. So, Yeah, it was cool when he was on the show. He really broke it down, and he talked about 1913 and the fourth turning and all this stuff like that. So it was cool. I think it really opened up Deborah's eyes.
Cool.
So
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to that.
let me pause and I'll text this guy and see if he's gonna come on and see what happens. All right, guys, we're back and we're here with our guest today. I know your guest today from hearing him on the Tony Arterburn show, and you've been on with Don Jeffries and Billy Ray Valentine a bunch too, right?
Yeah, I was on the Infinite Fringe with Billy, for the Kurt Cobain death that I personally think was a murder.
All right. Oh, sorry. It's our guest today is Chris Graves. So, man, we're happy to have you here. And I didn't know that you knew a lot about the Cobain stuff. We'd love to do a show on that also.
That was my number one thing before 9/11 happened.
Oh,
Yeah.
right on.
Sweet.
I go
Yeah.
all the way back there. Yeah.
Yeah, I can I remember very clearly when that happened. I was well, what was that? That was the fall, the winter of 94, right?
Yeah, it was April 5th, 1994, is when they
Spring
say he
of,
officially died. His body was found 3 days later.
yeah, spring of 94. So that day I was 14 years old. I was at the
Wow.
mall in Santa Rosa with my mom, Santa Rosa, California. And I remember I went to Camelot Music and I was buying a Nirvana In Utero poster.
And this is before you heard the
I
news.
didn't know the news. The
Oh,
girl
wow.
at the counter goes, "Oh man, it's really sad about what happened to Kurt, isn't it?" And he had overdosed a few weeks earlier and lived.
Yeah,
And I thought that that
that was a murder attempt too, and
yeah,
yeah, it
I
was in Rome, Italy.
so I
Yep.
thought that's what she was talking about. And I was like, "Oh, that's okay. He's better now, you know."
Yeah, he was in a coma.
Yeah,
That was about a
and
month before. Yep.
but she was talking, I thought she was talking about that, but she was talking about how he was dead.
It's like the actual successful attempt, unfortunately. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we'd
That
love
that's a
to.
whole rabbit hole too.
That's
That's
a cool,
fascinating.
that's another 90s one we could get in. But yeah,
Oh yeah.
I've heard you on the Arterburn radio transmission talking about all sorts of cool Bill Cooper-esque 90s old school conspiracy stuff. And one that I've always really been into is DUMS, Deep Underground Military Bases. And
That's right.
I heard you cover that a little bit with Tony and
Yeah, he wanted to start a podcast with me. Lately he's had me co-host his regular he calls it Arch, the Otterburn radio transmission. But yeah, this is called the one you're referring to is I think the latest episode was 1979, where we go
yeah.
into like all these weird things about it. We did one about the Georgia Guidestones when that happened, and then the first one we did together was definitely Bill Cooper. We kind of bonded over that. And to come to find out, we both had visited his grave like a week apart and didn't know it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Bill Cooper, and we did a whole episode about silent. I'm trying to think. Silent
Quiet
weapon.
weapon, silent weapons for
Yeah,
quiet wars. Is that what it is?
that one. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah,
and
no. Yeah, sorry.
were you a big Bill Cooper fan?
Yeah, I it's weird when people ask me if I'm into Alex Jones. I basically say, no, I was into the real Alex Jones, the one that Alex Jones took like his whole persona from. That
Yeah.
was Bill Cooper. Yep.
Yeah.
They killed him.
Yeah, they got
And he was
him.
the real one to predict 9/11 too, about a month before Alex started saying it, and Alex gets all that credit now,
Chud, have you ever heard the Bill Cooper Hour of the Times episode from June of 2001 where he predicts 9/11?
No, from June, huh?
Yeah,
That close in.
he says they're gonna say it's Osama bin Laden. It's
Yep.
not. And if you believe him, if you believe that, you're one of the dumbest people on the face of the earth.
Yeah,
Awesome.
he
And like,
actually, it's weird about that. The whole thing that kind of got me into doing the research stuff for all these other, excuse me, all these other things is when footage, news footage, disappears, and then it's as if it never existed. I kind of started down that path when I found out that when TWA 800 came down, there were all kinds of videos that were shown on different news stations that night showing the missiles like taking it down and exploding.
Which which flight was that?
That was in 1996. It was right off of Long Island.
Okay.
There's been a debate on what the cause of that was, but you had like almost 1,000 witnesses that saw streaks of light coming up from either the ocean or the land, and then basically taking out the plane. And a lot of researchers think it was originally there were researchers that thought it could have been Iranian terrorists on a boat.
Yeah.
But the most likely cause was that same night, around that same time, the Navy were doing, naval exercises.
Drill. It's always a drill.
A drill. But here's the thing. A lot of people don't realize they're known to do that all the time right near a major, like, metropolitan area. So, and sometimes they'll even, like, they call it painting, like, where they'll put, like, the laser guidance thing. They'll paint a target on some of these commercial airliners that are taking off from the airports. But here's the kicker. Usually it's a dummy warhead, and nothing ever, hits the airliners. You know, they just use them. And I'm sure a lot of those passengers, if they knew that, they would not want to get on the plane to begin with. So a lot of people think that it was the Navy accidentally took it down because of the heat signature and everything, because this particular one actually did. It had a new guidance system, and I think it wasn't explosive, but it was like it went through the plane. Like, it had just enough power to go right through it, and it caused, like, a rupture of the fuel tank. But anyway, I'm going off on that. But, yeah, Bill Cooper actually did an Hour of the Time episode where he talks about seeing CNN footage of what appears to be a missile taking it out. And I was just fascinated by that idea that there's thousands of people that not only on the beach and everything that night, but thousands of people across the country seeing different videos, because apparently there were more than just one, because some people describe it as the plane coming in from the left. Some people say it's from the right. Some people say it's from a boat perspective out in the water. Some people even say that there's like a wedding video and you see like a missile come up from the beach. And you can't find like actual legitimate sources that it's as if those videos never existed. People don't know what they saw, but there was something. And that showed to me that the military actually is involved with like the censorship of, the communications and everything, because they're able to disappear those videos without a trace, probably silenced a whole bunch of people at like the news stations and things like that. And as a matter of fact, I think Jack Cashel, who is like a TWA 800 like expert, he's written in a couple of his books about it, that MSNBC was brand new at the time. And apparently they had a video that was confiscated by three feds in the middle of the night. And those feds basically said, if this never existed, you talk about this, you don't want to talk about this. that basic thing. So just mysterious stuff. So going back to Bill Cooper, yeah, he did a whole episode where he went and he tried to get the archives at CNN. The footage for when the crash happened, and he reports that the first hour in the tape is missing. And it's very curious because Bill Cooper was the one that got the footage for another case that really interests interests me, is the JFK Jr. Crash. There's footage out there from Boston, in my area, that shows a Coast Guard petty officer named Todd Bergen talking on the air, on the phone, with Susan Warnick, the anchor for WCVB in Boston, confirming that John Jr. Contacted the airport and said he was ready to land and everything was okay. And he was just awaiting landing instructions. But that phone call and that interview doesn't exist, except it does. And that's because Bill Cooper was able to get to the archives for Channel 5. He had some of his people at the time go up to New Hampshire and get the copies before they were able to take out that interview. And there was also references to a witness that saw an explosion in the sky. And he was a newspaper reporter for the Martha's Vineyard Gazette. And to this day, we don't know what that guy's name was. And that report officially doesn't exist either. But there were two other witnesses that saw an explosion in the sky at night. So because of Bill Cooper, he was able to get that footage out, but he was never able to find the TWA footage that he actually saw when they aired it live of the missile going up. So yeah, anyway, that was a long-winded thing about Bill Cooper. But yeah, with Tony and I, yeah, we did, we were kind of bonded over him. And I think, I don't even know where we were.
I'm derailing now. Yeah, that's good stuff, man. I had kind of mixed feelings about Bill Cooper. You know, I wasn't a listener of Freedom, AM Freedom Radio, you know, like when he was on it, and Bo Greitz and all that. It would have been cool if I was, but it was before my time. And, you know, I bought Behold a Pale Horse when I first started getting into all this stuff, probably around 2017. You know, it was pretty cool. My experience of buying Behold a Pale Horse, I went to Powell's Books in Portland, Oregon. Huh. And it's the largest, I think the largest bookstore in America. It's a really awesome place. When I was a little kid, my parents used to just drop me off there at like 8 in the morning, give me $20 and come back at like 4.
That's awesome.
Oh, they'd be thrown in jail for that now, but you know,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But I went there, you know, later in life, I went and, I went up to the information counter and I said, can you guys, look up a book for me and see if you have it? And they go, yeah, sure. It was like this old guy, this old bookworm guy. Yeah. And he goes, what's the title? And I go, Behold a Pale Horse by Bill Cooper. And he like looks up at me like, go. Like, oh.
I got the same look.
Once. And he didn't even like type it in. He knew where to take me. He had to take me to the special locked cabinet that has like, it had like the tarot cards and I forget what else. Yeah. And they had to unlock it and give it out to me. So I paid in cash. So I didn't get put on the watch list. Like,
oh, that's real. Yeah, after 9/11.
Yeah, that was the old rumor that if you bought that book with a credit card, you got put on a list.
Oh, you did. It was the Patriot Act.
Yep. Yeah. So I got it there. And then I think I kind of had Bill Cooper up on a pedestal, and then I read Pale Horse Rider by Mark Jacobson.
I read that
and
too.
It, yeah. It's a great book, and I had that guy on the show, the author on the show, on my show.
Yeah.
He kind of took him down a peg for me, learning a lot about his old 80s UFO stuff kind of put a bad taste in my mouth about it.
Yeah, no, I know what I know exactly what you mean. And what I found out is some of the later Hour of the Time episodes, Bill admitted that he was wrong about a lot of the alien stuff that he was pushing.
Yeah.
And that he thought it was more of it was definitely a human agenda under the guise of this alien, you know, BS.
Yeah.
And he admitted it, but a lot of people, I think in Pale Horse Ride, I don't think he actually, it gives Bill credit for learning like his mistakes and things like that. He also, Bill also gets called out to this day for the video that he had that basically made it out to look like the driver that William Greer shot JFK with. That also, Bill Cooper in later years admitted that he was given a bum video and that he was very sorry about that the whole thing happened, but the damage is already done. So he was a flawed individual, and he sometimes he can be very mean and stuff like that. So I don't put him on a pedestal, but I give him some credit just because his ass, he's dead, and people like Alex Jones are still walking around. So
right.
That's why I, and the 9/11 thing too is just very eerie because he was pretty spot on with that stuff, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The, how's my audio, guys? Am I echoey?
No, you're fine to me.
Some strange noise, but
okay,
you're
not let's see
echoey.
If it clears up.
I'm just worried if my audio is because I can hear crickets like in the background for me.
No, you're all good.
Okay, cool.
But the one thing I think that book is really worth a read. It's getting harder to find. If you can find it, go find a copy of Pale Horse Rider by Mark Jacobson. It's good to have.
I think he also says like Bill. I think from what I remember, he also kind of not alludes to. I think he flat out like says that like Bill was like a, you know, one of the guys that like, oh, the Jews did everything that, well, you know, the Zionist thing. But I don't really remember Bill being really anti-Semitic at all on the Hour of the Time and things like that. Like he talks about Zionism, but it's not like he's saying all Jewish people are like that. I feel like that's an easy smear too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But on I could that, be wrong. You know,
on that, on that night, on that episode where he predicts 9/11, some guy, when he's taking calls, calls in later and starts talking about the J conspiracy, and he goes off on him. He gets mad at the guy and like calls him a sheeple and like hangs up on him.
You mean the Jewish conspiracy? Yeah, he did that a lot. Like when he would have listeners call in and say like bad stuff about, you know, the blacks, this, the blacks, especially during the LA riots, the Hour of the Time was on. That was like right at the beginning of when he started doing it. And he said, you know, he was doing the same thing you just said. Like he was defending, like, not all black people are out to, you know, riot and kill whitey and things like that. So when they smear this guy after he's dead and he can't even defend himself, I'm like, he had a half Chinese child.
Yeah.
His daughter was half Chinese. So
that's the kind of thing that now you're racist if you point that out.
Exactly. Yeah. I love your name, by the way. I don't know if it's because of the movie, but the movie is something I wanted to make. I've written a Chud 3 script years ago, and I hope to make it at some point.
Oh yeah, that's awesome, man. That was it was the name of a band I was in a long time ago, and I tattooed it on myself, and then the band broke up, so it just kind of became my name. Like,
oh. Did you see the movie though? Did you
know? Oh yeah, we'd seen the movie. We named goofy, ourselves after it.
Okay, all right. It's goofy, but it's a guilty pleasure of mine. Not so guilty.
Oh yeah.
That's, I was going to get the tattoo as well, but like the cover, like with the sewer cover.
The hand coming up.
I wanted
up.
That on my back. Tramp stamp on my own. Anyway.
That's one of those, it's one of the cases that I can remember distinctly, the picture on the movie case from the old
they're
school.
Not staying down there any
from
longer.
The old school rental place used to go to Garth's Video. To rent movies, you know,
and the old Freddy Krueger tapes too, like all the artwork. Yeah.
Oh yeah, some good artwork on those old VHS covers. Oh yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
No problem.
I know to derail stuff.
So. No, man, this is fantastic. So what we got you here to talk about, Chris, is deep underground military bases, aliens, Phil Schneider, all from a 90s perspective. So what can you tell us about that whole story?
I'll say this, Phil Schneider, it's weird. I don't know if I buy really totally into what he was saying, but I can't really knock the guy down either. And that's usually how these things are set up, where it's like you can't do one or the other. Because in terms of documentation, like that's why I like researchers like the guy that I still do research for, Donald Jeffries.
Yeah,
and another researcher that I, you know, really loved, especially around the time of like Bill Cooper, was a guy named Dave McGowan.
Yeah,
and I'm still trying to keep his memory and his work alive, because there's a lot of people that don't really know his stuff either. But what they would do is they would use mainstream sources against them, whoever that they are, you know what I mean? But he would use their own mainstream articles and point out like, hey, guys just lied your asses off here, you know. But with Phil Schneider, since he was claiming to be from like that shadowy, black ops kind of world, there's not a lot of documentation to back up what he's saying. So there's the famous presentation he did in 1995 where he claimed that there was a war between Green Berets and like Delta Force and like it Dolce, I think, in an underground base. And it was like a all out, like, you know, battle, like under the ground. But he was murdered. Well, they say he, you know, quote unquote, murdered, suicided, or they claim he killed himself. But he was strangled with like a piano wire, I believe. So it's a very intriguing way to take yourself out. You know, you have to really be dedicated to the cause, I guess. But yeah, I mean, basically, he claimed to have pictures and footage from the underground base. When you see the pictures, it's kind of like when the alien autopsy video came out on Fox, you know, it probably around the same time, like 94, 95.
Yeah, I remember that really well.
Yeah, I watched that over and over again. I was intrigued. To this day, I'm leaning towards maybe it was just, you know, made up thing. But
well, I think that there's a German special effects guy who came out, Olaf Ittenbach. He put out a making of. He was like, I never intended anybody to think this was real. It was just
so he claimed it was that, because I know they did a debunking thing, but it was with Hollywood people like Rick Baker and things like that. But this guy that you're talking about actually claimed to be the one that do the actual video.
He made a bunch of low budget horror movies in Germany, and then he was working on one that he never finished that involved an alien autopsy. And that guy kind of leaked out into the underground. And before you knew it was on Fox.
Fox. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Was pretty proud of himself.
Yeah, so, they did that with Faces of Death too. They came out later on and said, like, I mean, they do have some legitimate death footage, but a lot of that stuff, they actually have a making of that too, like with the monkey brains and all that stuff. And Phil Schneider, I'll tell you, when I was talking to Tony about it, I think even Tony said the same thing. Like, we don't know really what to think or make, because the guy he had to have been murdered. Just the way he died, it doesn't make any sense. It's almost like the Terrence Eakey cop from Oklahoma City who shot himself in the back of the head and then dragged himself into a field and slashes his wrist. But he was a suicide, same deal. So whether he knew some real stuff or not is up in the air. And if that stuff that he knew had anything to do with like an alien battle underground, that's up in the air too, because maybe he was a legitimate whistleblower, but it could have been more, you know, earth-based, you know, classified information type things like that, you know?
Yeah. So his story is that he went to, he was at Dulce, New Mexico. It's some sort of high level secret military base. He gets lowered into the ground on a elevator that goes straight down, like Dan Aykroyd on Spies Like Us.
That's right.
He gets down to the bottom of the, into this big wide open cavern where the underground military base is. And he smells this horrible smell. A 7-foot gray alien comes out. He grabs for his sidearm, shoots it. The alien does something with his hand, laser beams or some sort of like electronic energy weapon shoots out of the alien's chest, blows a bunch of his fingers off. Right.
Yep.
And he had that till like the presentation you're talking about is still on the internet. You can get it. And it's, if you type in Phil Schneider, it'll come up. It's from like Prepper Con 1995.
That's right. Yep. Yep.
And he's standing there, he's missing fingers. And then he says he's talking about Green Berets, and he also talks about Black Berets.
Yeah, and there's also a Delta Force thing, maybe not in that video, but I think he alluded to Delta Force being there too, like in an interview at a different period of time.
Yeah, he says a Green Beret did something, saved his life, but paid the ultimate price, and he didn't make it out alive.
Yeah.
So
But it's hard to tell because it's supposed to be classified, right? So it's just his word. So
yeah,
it could also be a thing where he was being legitimate in that he experienced something, but whether it was alien or not, we don't know. But he could be in the same boat as Bill Cooper, where he just had bad information. You know, I don't think Bill lied about it because, like I said, I listened to the man actually say it towards the end of his life that he was very regretful for pushing information that he found out later on was BS. But a lot of these researchers, they'll stick to it even if they find out they're wrong. Kind of like with scientists and like archaeologists.
Yeah,
that's their whole career. They will stick to it because that's their bread and butter. That's their legacy. But he had the balls to say not only that, but the JFK, the Zapruder film that was given to him by someone in the Secret Service, that was totally manipulated to get someone like himself, kind of made to look like a fool, a lot of people's eyes, Yeah, Phil Schneider could have been the same thing. Maybe he didn't see, he saw something, but it wasn't what, he thought it was. Or he could have been like a disinformation agent because they do exist, but it's hard to tell. That's what I mean.
It could be some sort of Bob Lazar thing too. Like, I don't know. Bob Lazar seems genuine to me, but my kind of theory on him is that he was shown something because they had done enough research on him to know that he would go talk about it.
Well, he had the same story consistently for 30 something years.
Yeah.
Usually if you're full of it, you forget certain details and you start, changing the story a little bit, but he's been pretty consistent.
Yeah,
and there's nothing for him to gain. He doesn't, that I know of, he doesn't make any money that I know of from what his story is. If anything, it seems like it's a nuisance, if not a danger, because,
he's not, he'll sell you that poster right there autographed for $30, but I mean, he's not making millions of dollars on
that. Oh, I didn't know he started doing that stuff.
Yeah,
not
but
that that's not gonna make him rich, though.
It's 30 bucks for it's the sketch in that recent documentary they did with what's that one guy's name?
Jeremy
Corbell.
Is that there you go. Yeah.
He draws like a little sketch of like the anti-gravity thing, and that it's that. And then like he has him on his website for 30 bucks.
And he knew that little security device too with the handprint, like years before. And he actually got his I don't know. I wasn't there. I'll never say legitimate unless I see it with my own eyes. But he got Bob's reaction when he showed him the photo, and it seemed like he was shocked. He's like, oh, my God, I haven't seen that in 30 years, because it backs up his story somewhat. You know?
And his name was in that
the phone book.
In the little phone guide for Los Alamos or whatever.
Yeah, because they tried to wipe his identity off the planet, and that backed up the fact that not only he had a job there, he lived there, and they even tried to take his school records and disappear those too. I think Jeremy found some of those, but Bob Lazar, I don't know, like, I'll never say 100% because, like I said, I wasn't there, but he seems pretty legit. I mean, I don't know,
I feel he believes what he says.
Whatever he's seen. And plus, he also brought up the fact that they would give him like little packets of information, like saying that which each craft came, like where they found each one. And I guess the one that was the most intriguing, at least to me, was one that was supposedly found at an archaeologist. It was like very old, and it was like during I can't pronounce the word.
Archaeological.
Thank you. Yeah, that one. a dig. Apparently, it was recovered like a long time ago. And Bob thought that it was possible that this information, like where they said where these crafts came from, could have been BS, just to see if he was going to talk about it anywhere else. That could be it, too. That's a tactic that's used for not just alien type stuff, but like deep state or whatever you want to call it, whatever the buzzwords are. But yeah, that story is fascinating too. But But I don't know. Do you think if he really was the real deal, which he I have a feeling he is, I feel like they would have killed him anyway, and they would have said, "Oh, he just got hit by a bus, jerk. You know, didn't look both ways or something." You know what I mean?
Yeah, so, his life is an indication to me, but the fact that he's alive is somewhat of an indication that I think he was fucked with. You know, like I don't think. I think
whatever, they wanted us to know what he told everybody.
Yeah, I feel like he was shown something, and not even told, but shown something in such a way that he would go out and he couldn't hold that under his hat. And they allow him to go out and do that just to see, you know, how quickly does he come forward and tell people? What channels does he take to tell people? Exactly. I don't know. It seems like they could just learn a million things by whether you want to say programming him to think something happened, or maybe giving him the proper drugs and environment to convince him that something was happening, or completely staging something.
You're on to something else, though. I don't even think you realize it.
Yeah, or maybe what's
you
that?
Do. I don't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, it could also be that Bob Lazar, and this is probably not the case, but it just dawned on me that Bob Lazar was used as a some kind of like a security drill type thing to see, like you just said, they're studying to see if one of their guys escapes, what is his course of action and what channels would he have?
Yeah, you know, like
trying to find a mole in the organization kind of thing.
They give him a benign. They give him a story that's actually benign. It doesn't exist, or it didn't happen, or whatever. And then see how that goes out. Just see what paths that follows. How big does it get? How many people hear about it? How does he tell people about it? You know,
that's like with false flags too. Like, I guarantee you, these false flags, they're studying the shit out of the people's reactions, especially the ones that know that. Are trying to talk about the initial reports that always get changed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And just to see like what avenues they're going to go and what lengths they're going to go.
Sure.
But I guarantee you all this creepy, weird stuff is studied and studied and studied, you know? Mm-hmm. I cut you off again, though.
No, you're good, man.
So back to the underground military bases. So he's lowered down, and that's just this one story. What is the thought of, like, what's being hidden underground by the military?
Well, that's the other part that could actually be the more realistic part and the far scarier part, in my opinion. And that's the basic, you know, the child sex trafficking industry, because that's a big component. I mean, then they mix in like the alien experimentation and all that stuff. And that very well could be a possibility too, because they use some weird stuff in those labs, not even underground ones, where they're trying to splice DNA with different animals and stuff. Like Montauk Island was another example.
Yeah. Chimeras and all that.
Yeah, weird stuff. And yeah, so the common theory, I guess, is that they use, you know, there's a whole thing too where like with the Denver airport, that supposedly is a huge underground, whether it's a military installation or not, I don't know, but a lot of researchers in this kind of field say feel like that's like the capital for the new world order.
Yeah.
And a lot of like child sacrifice, things like that. You know, the stuff like the Franklin scandal that a lot of people don't know about, or the McMartin scandal, where the daycare center in California in the 1980s, the children were being molested, and they all claimed that there were tunnels underneath the preschool, which would lead the kids out, like during the day, like secretly to like very famous and powerful, you know, figures. It's kind of like an Epstein thing where they'll get these people in positions of power and kind of get them in compromising photos and things like that with like seriously very young children.
Yeah.
So that's not out of the realm of possibility, but those kids got like smeared and in the press and everything. Like, and there was even that a fake syndrome that was created to dismiss
the false memory, false
not
memory
a real syndrome.
Syndrome.
It wasn't. They had to close their doors in the last few years because the people that came up with the false memory syndrome were pedophiles, you know. So it's just, you know, so going back to what you were saying, like the idea is that I don't want to say Pizzagate, but that kind of idea, like that's been around for a long, long time. Pizzagate was kind of like the next evolution of that idea. And I don't know, like that's another one where there's like high profile rings like that, obviously. But whether or not it's like a cabal of all these lizard people drinking blood, I'm not saying that that's not possible either, but I feel like it's a very human thing, unfortunately. And you look all the way back in history that, you know, pedophilia, unfortunately, I don't know what causes it, but it's been around like since the dawn of man. So
that's a good way to think. Just something that me and Adam have talked about a few times on here is like the orphan trains of the 19th century. And, you know, the baby incubators that were at the World's Fairs all the way into the 20th century. And something that we come to sometimes when we're talking about these old times is, where did all these babies come from? Where did all these children come from? And I don't think we've ever said it on here, but something that kind of runs through my mind every time is, I don't know, maybe giant underground facilities where we're breeding babies in capacities that we can't comprehend. And, you know, that if they were to, like, say, wipe us all out now and then repopulate the earth, they could all come from some kind of underground facility. And, you know, that could line up right with what we're talking about. And in the meanwhile, we have the Epsteins of the world that do what they will with whatever might be going on down in a place like that, if children are a component to it.
And they most likely are, unfortunately, you know.
Yeah.
Because what do they call it? The honeypot. The operations like the honeypot, where they get the politicians to, you know, do whatever they say, and they lure them to the honeypot. It's whether or not it's like Epstein, where the girls are only, you know, in their early teens, which, you know, it doesn't make it any better. But then you got more severe stuff, like where there's like, you know, 2-year-olds and snuff films and things like that, you know, underground stuff. And you know, it just depends on the level of degenerate that you're trying to control, you know, or even they might not even be degenerates and it's legitimate blackmail, you know what I mean?
Yeah, how far down the degenerate path can they lead someone to which then in turn turns to how severely can we blackmail someone?
Exactly. And then they can also, the man or woman could even be innocent, because we hear stuff about how they put this type of stuff on people's laptops all the time, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
They do you think do about why? I'm not saying that's not Hunter. I'm not giving Hunter Biden a pass. I'm just saying anybody that's like doing research or you know, anybody they want to set up, they can just put it on the lap. And then if you don't have the money to defend yourself and prove it otherwise, then, you know, they have this all thought out a long time ago, you know? So the idea is that the underground bases are not just used for that, but I believe that's the most safest way to go about that kind of operation, is a bigger version of the McMartin tunnels that were underneath the preschool. Because I meant to say this too, the kids were right, come to find out, because years after, the parents of the kids that actually believed their children, and not these lawyers and these high paid, you know, psychiatrists that were paid to come in and basically call them all liars and discredit them and create syndromes that didn't exist. They paid, the parents of these poor children that paid for like a guy to use equipment to go and find out whether or not there was anything to the tunnel thing. Because that was the most creepiest and weirdest out there claims during the McMartin trial of molestation of like, I don't know, I think it was like 100 kids or even more than that. And they all had like ended up getting STDs and they were only like preschoolers. You know what I mean? So they found,
so sick.
They hired it. They hired like a guy. I can't, it's so simple. Like what the archaeology. They hired a guy that had all that equipment to do the underground sonar. Is that even the
like
right
a light,
term?
Like a LIDAR scan, maybe?
Yes, and he found it, and he did a wrote up a whole report for the parents, where he said, "Well, this is where this root tree root was cut, like very fresh." They found a Disney World bag from 1983 because it said copyright 1983. That's how he was able to find out. So it wasn't just a trash pit like people said at the trial. He said, "Oh, it's just a trash pit from the 1950s." Yet, like very deep down, it was a Disney World plastic bag that's a copyright 1983. So they basically proved that the kids were not full of it, and that you think that that would be all over the press, right, and the TV and everything. No, I mean the media buried the kids too. So it's like what reason would the media have to basically smear these children? Like it just, you know, just,
yeah, unfortunately. I don't expect that on the media, because I expect this kind of stuff to be hidden. Yeah,
exactly. Yep.
In a better world, I would expect it to be talked about, to be heard about, to be blasted out. But
yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. They could, whoever they are, they control the meat. That's the mouthpiece for whoever they are, you know. Mm-hmm. The ones that are running the show, you know, that was originally, it was supposed to be the unofficial fourth branch of government. It's supposed to keep the other three, you know, honest, hold their feet to the fire, but they ended up becoming an Orwellian mouthpiece. But
oh yeah, no, the media is the propaganda wing of the government. I feel that 100%.
Oh yeah.
And maybe at some point, I don't think so much anymore, but I used to think at one point it was a benevolent thing that was there, as you said, to keep the government in check. Yeah. But I don't know. The more I examine stuff, the more I kind of think it was always
a bad apple.
Always planned this way.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just easy to lie back in the day because there wasn't so many options.
Yeah. Because you look at like the Lincoln assassination, Dave McGowan, again, before they killed him, and yes, I do believe they killed him, he got one of those Jack Ruby fast-acting cancers after he did a whole presentation about the Boston bombing anomalies and the photographs and everything. Shortly thereafter, he gets this weird cancer that is very aggressive and dies like 6 months later on November 22nd, 1963. That was a little slip, 2015. So on JFK's anniversary, but that aside, I just went through a whole bunch of different things like in under 10 seconds. What was I saying? Oh, I know, so legitimately, I just broke my brain. No, he what was it? Oh, the Lincoln thing. Yeah, he was working on a Lincoln series where he basically made it look like it seemed like it was all like a Sandy Hook kind of hoax kind of type deal. And I'm not saying Sandy Hook was a hoax. I just meant most people that are labeled.
We know where you're coming from.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, he basically was on his way with evidence that he found from back in the day that would point to a lot of it being staged. Not Lincoln's actual death, but the
John. Right, like he might have actually died, but there were a lot of pieces that were intentionally put in place to make it the way it was, or even seem the way it was. Yeah.
And he was working on that. And fortunately he didn't get to finish that series, but that would kind of tied into what you're saying. I think just based on that alone, that goes back to what, 1865.
Right.
So yeah, newspapers were always going to be the mouthpiece for whoever's running.
If we were faking it back then, we've always been faking it.
Exactly.
And there might have been small pockets of genuine journalism you know, people who got into it because they wanted to expose truths and things like that. But as long as they didn't put the target over anything that they didn't that yes. the powers that be didn't want out. Exactly. You know, if they wanted to report what was really happening, you know, at the whatever's going on, just the daily events that are benign, but yeah. as long as they weren't over any major targets, then and those people probably felt very, very strongly that their profession was a very noble one.
A lot of them do, you hear them say, you know.
But my grandfather was a journalist.
Oh, and, was he?
And you know, I knew him until I was you know, he died when I was about 25, and he was a man probably of integrity.
Probably a decent good guy. And I know it's your grandfather, but you know, you could probably sense whether or not he had a bad streak in him, right?
He was a good man. I'm certain of that. And I have a whole lot of his writings, but you know, he's not over the target of anything important. I mean, the closest was he reported a bit on DB Cooper. That was like the craziest stuff, the stuff that might have something behind it. But even then, I don't think that was his most original journalism that he did. He wrote for the Seattle PI and then later a smaller newspaper. But his stuff was about, you know, just like local events, you know, what's going on. You know, he wrote a lot about the nightlife that was going on and stuff like that.
Like, for lack of a better term, like fluff pieces. Like,
yeah, he wrote a lot of fluff pieces. Stuff. And in his later years, he would write about his cat, you know, stuff like that. But
hey, the cat needs coverage, you know?
Oh, sure. But, you know, he was never reporting on anything. Like, when I look through his archives that I have access to, there's nothing controversial in there. So,
did you ever get to ask his opinion about his fellow journalists? Like, did he have a sense that there really was this underlining corruption? And
he passed away before I was really tuning in. Before I was really awake, I was waking up on a lot of things.
Yeah,
but you know, it was kind of he passed away during the time I was kind of moving from being more of a liberal to a conservative and finding libertarianism. But I wasn't convinced that we had a lot of fake history and that everything's a cover up, and you know,
it is most of the time.
Yeah. Right. But I figured it out just a little too late to talk to him about,
because his career. I was going to ask you, had you got to talk, have that discussion, if he was well aware of like the COINTELPRO thing that the church committee came out with in 1975,
Mockingbird,
all that stuff where they were, you know, a journalist and people in the media that could sway public opinion. You know, the CIA would put like assets and the FBI would utilize reporters and all that. Cause that wasn't that well known, but it was still a big story. So
if I had to guess, well, for one thing, if he was still alive today, I'd be asking him a lot of different questions over the last 10 years than I did.
Oh yeah.
Before he did pass away. But if I had to just guess, you know, just speculating about my own grandfather, you know, I don't think he knew about any of that stuff. You know,
most people don't, you know.
I think he was just as ignorant as all of us out here, you know, that are just regular folks, not necessarily us that are on conspiracy podcasts, but.
And that doesn't make him the people that are, you know, either not curious about this or they think you're nuts, or that doesn't make them bad people. It's a psychological thing, because like, if you really look back at people that started waking up about 9/11, there was definitely a cognitive dissonance I can't pronounce anything. You know what I mean? That it's a hard pill to swallow. You know what I mean? To think that your whole reality is not what it is, and like the possibility that kind of evil really could be in control of things. Like, most people, their brain will protect themselves because
I blame no one who puts up a you know, self-protection mechanism in their brain that just doesn't allow that stuff to come in. I mean, I wish everyone would wake up to things, but you know, like, I don't believe we went to the moon, and I don't shame anyone for believing that stuff, even though it seems almost silly to me or something like that. It's for a lot of people, it's just too big. It's too big of a lie. The world's not capable of such big lies. you know.
Yes, and then
and
out,
I understand that mentality.
They are. Yeah,
it's so easy for myself, and I think for you too, Chud. Like you're an elder millennial, and I'm at the bottom of Gen X, and it's like we're both punk rockers and like grew up against the government, and then when it was presented to me that they weren't good and like doing things, and I actually like had more than some band's lyrics showing me like horrible things that they'd done, it was like really really easy for me to be like, oh okay, I get it, I can see what's happening now. And it's I think for the boomer generation, the generations a little bit older than us, it's so much harder for them to see, because the world that they were living in was kind of this whitewashed, you know, world where that wasn't presented to them that much.
Right.
Like what you said though before, Mr. Chud, or can I call you Chud?
You know, I prefer Mister, but yeah, you can go with Chud.
All right.
Chud's great. Yeah.
I'll call you Bud.
All right. There we go.
What you were saying before about the reporter thing with your grandfather, not really writing anything controversial or whatnot. The guy that I think his name was, I should know this officially, but it's not in front of me, but Gary Webb.
Yeah, Gary Webb. He shot himself twice.
Killed himself. Shot himself twice in the head, apparently.
Yeah.
Because he missed, just like he was famous. He was quoted as saying that before he started looking into the possibility of the CIA bringing in, you know, crack into the inner cities and everything.
He's the one who broke Iran-Contra, right, for the San Jose Mercury News.
Before that, he was getting rewards for fluff, for like puff pieces. And he says that all stopped. And he goes, I realized, paraphrasing, because I realized when I was getting those awards, not rewards, that I wasn't writing anything of any significance whatsoever. And the moment I started, that's when I didn't get any more awards. And I became dangerous, you know. It just reminded me that when you had said that earlier, I'm like, oh yeah, Gary Webb, I think, said something similar, where he's like, I knew then that I wasn't writing anything significant when I was getting all the awards and the kudos and everything. Mm-hmm. But when you start writing something that actually matters, that's when you disappear, you're discredited, you know.
Well, and you know, you're making me think too, as I defend my grandfather and say that I think he didn't know about those things. At the same time, he was a sharp dude. Maybe he did know about those things, and he said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to write about my cat."
Yeah, because he didn't want his family to be hurt. Yeah. You know, and that's
I can make a paycheck, and I can exactly. do well, and I can, you know, and he had his fame. His picture was next to every column he did, and all that. So you know, he was recognizable on the streets and all that.
But he was never... happiness too with the cat stuff, you know, because people sure. like looking at that stuff, you know.
Sure, sure.
But yeah, so I don't know, all the it's like the media, everything, and then you even when you get down to it, alternative media too, like the big names, like the real big names. That's also like they don't call it COINTELPRO anymore or Mockingbird, but. They have those programs. Anderson Cooper is one of them. You know, he was in the CIA recruited him.
That's what I've heard.
In college. And he was a Vanderbilt belt. Yeah. Like, he comes from old money, you know. Kind of like that guy, Army Hammer, who apparently is like a cannibal or whatever, the Lone Ranger. He's a cannibal. He comes from old money, too. And his father, Armand Hammer, he was... good friends with Poppy Bush, George H.W. Bush. And there was some kind of scandal back then in 1989 with his grandfather. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they got assets everywhere. And Dave McGowan, like, looked into all that. Even the moon thing, like, what was brought up. The thing that had me on the fence for years about the moon was I always thought we went to the moon, but they were trying to hide, like, the fact that there were, like, pictures taken of, like, weird bases and glass structures, Richard Hoagland type stuff.
Sure.
But then I go and I read Dave McGowan's Wagging the Moondoggy series, and he convinces me in a very humorous way that it would be the whole thing would be impossible.
Yeah.
Whether it comes to like the spacesuits themselves, like they have to have incredible heating and air conditioning systems that can turn on a dime. Because if you go out into the sunlight, like I forget the exact thing, but it was like almost like 400 degrees.
Yeah, or whatever. It's a wild swing. Yeah, in the shade, it's supposed to be too cold to stay alive, and then out of there, you're supposed to be too hot to stay alive. So
exactly,
those who's suits taking have to the be pictures? Magical.
I know, that's what I mean. And who's taking the pictures with those big ass winter gloves that buzz in? I almost said Lance and Armstrong. They have these huge bikers. Like, they're supposed to be getting the photos like in focus and also. So Dave like opened my eyes a lot with that too.
Yeah, the great proof that Don Jeffries always brings up is the lunar rover, the Willy's Jeep. It folds. Yep. They've asked Chud, I don't know if you've heard this. They ask, I forget who was asked, but they asked where did they put the Jeep? You know, in that little Jiffy Pop popcorn thing, you know?
And where are they putting all the excrement,
and
too?
They say that they had technology that Jeep folded up.
Like the Jetsons.
Like the Jetsons. That's their answer.
Yeah, I haven't. You know, I actually haven't ever heard that addressed. I've asked that question, but I've never heard
NASA,
an answer on that.
NASA put out an actual cartoon demonstration of that thing, and I found it and I sent it not only to Don, but I sent it to Dave McGowan's brother Craig, who I'm in contact with a lot, and they both laughed their asses off because it's impossible, dude. They also say it's lost technology. They lost it on the way to like the Grand Canyon. It's like, give me a break. Like, they can't go back yet. Because,
over.
Yeah.
And now we're going back in 2 years. And then.
No, guess what? No, what? I just did a thing earlier with Tony, and I showed him the article, and he put it on the air. You can see it towards the end. NASA is not going back to the moon, even. And
big surprise.
This is pretty fast. It was because there was an engine failure, so they said no, we're not going to go back now. But they just said it 2 weeks ago.
I've been since I've been looking at the moon landing and all of this, you know. So going back a few years, quite a few years now, it has always been 2 years. It has always been in 2 years from now, we're going to be on the moon again. And it never happens. And it's never 1 year. It's not 2 years. And then the next year they say in 1 year. And then when it gets closer, they cancel it. It's just always 2 years.
Then Obama even said it. And Obama's like, we're going to go there 2030 something. What? And when I was in high school, but when I was in my early 20s, George W. Bush at the height of the Iraq war said, we're going to Mars. When are we going to Mars? I mean,
As soon as we go back to the moon, then we'll start working on that much, 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 much longer trip to Mars.
They don't even leave the Earth's atmosphere.
Yeah, they can't leave low Earth orbit. It's,
I don't think we've ever left
Earth
orbit.
I'm starting to get to like that with the Dave stuff. I think if we did go to the moon, it's probably that the secret space program that's been alluded to over time. And it's probably one of these black triangles that I even saw at one point that just like is classified, you know, technology and stuff. You know, if we did, it's probably utilizing something like that, not like rocketry or anything like that. You know, like Nixon calls the moon and he's got good service. I can't call
from a landline
for pizza.
From a landline in 1969, I get cut off on cell phone calls at least once a month because I
call someone in my own
signal.
House and I don't get a signal.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It's all charade.
When Mark Jacobson, author of Pale Horse Rider, was on the show, like he's not a conspiracy theorist, and it was at that contentious time, like right it was in like November of 2020, like right before the elections, and he's like a hardcore liberal guy, and you know, I wasn't a Trump guy, but I wasn't letting people get away with saying stupid stuff. And he said some stupid stuff. And then, like, he's like, you know, there, he said something about QAnon and like how they don't believe in the moon landing. And I'm like, oh, you believe in the moon landing? And I just threw out, like, I didn't want to get into like a big argument with him or anything, but I just
Because there's no reason. That's why someone like that brings up, puts a whole bunch of things into one sentence like that. The QAnon people don't believe we went to the moon.
But right. What I said to him was like, so did Lincoln call the moon with a landline? And he was just like, oh. Yeah.
Oh, you're one of the Sandy Hooker hoaxers, right?
What? Yeah.
when they put it, that's just set up to divide and conquer. Because that's not relevant. Like, number one, for me personally, especially with the research into JFK Jr.'s death, I do believe he is dead, and he's not like Trump's like secret vice president or whatever the hell the thing. I think that was it's going to sound like I'm a hoaxer or whatever, but I do think that a lot of this stuff, including January 6th, was a psyop. I think Sandy Hook was a psyop too. And I don't mean no one died there. I mean,
Psyop doesn't mean no one was hurt. Exactly. I think a lot of people misinterpret, because I'll say stuff like you're saying right now often, and people go, oh, what, you think that, you know, I'll say something about like a military operation being a psyop, and they're saying, oh, you're going to tell that to the families of the people, of the soldiers who died? And I'm like, no.
Exactly.
I think that if there's soldiers' families who are grieving their death, they probably died.
Yeah.
That doesn't, just because it's a psyop, just because it's a false flag, just because it's influencing people in a way that isn't what happened, doesn't mean people didn't die. I think people die for psyops all the time.
All the time.
False flag as well means that it can mean that 100 people were shot. It's just that it wasn't shot by a wing nut. They were shot by trained military soldiers. You know,
I know a guy that was at Las Vegas, at the Las Vegas shooting.
There were helicopters shooting at those people too. Yeah. I've seen that before too.
But I know that he was there, and I know he's not a crisis actor.
That's the thing. I think they start mixing this during the op. I think they start mixing these things too, where they're actually maybe actors there, but then there's definitely real victims as well. And I think they start to blur the line. Like, they get sophisticated with this stuff. And what I mean by the Sandy Hook thing is, I think they purposely have people going, maybe even pretending to be family members, and doing interviews on the day where they're sitting there giggling and laughing. You know, all the oddities, like the coroner sitting there laughing during the press conference, like stuff that's not supposed to be, that's not normal. I think that stuff was put out to lure researchers in and trap them, kind of like with January 6th, with protesters, legitimate protesters surrounded by provocateurs. You know what I mean? And then the provocateurs get the hell out of there. But then you got people that are still in prison, in jail right now without a trial, without a pot to piss in. And then you got a Trump raising money for himself, not willing to help.
Help a fucking dick.
That's what I'm saying. I think that, and I think you're correct, though. I was going to chime in there, but when you said Vegas, I know somebody who saw a military adult, huge buff military guy who was with Dylan Klebold in Columbine High School. And this individual had a sawed-off shotgun in his hand. He was not Eric Harris. At this point, Eric Harris was probably already dead in the library. And this guy, and she wasn't the person I'm talking about. I even did an interview with her for my podcast. Her name, I can say her name now because she agreed to do the interview. Jennifer Small Thompson. She wasn't the only one who identified this guy in his 30s. And I believe he was a handler of some kind, because then you got other witnesses that saw up to 8 shooters at Columbine High School, including men with black masks on. And according to the evidence logs and everything, no one had any masks on. But that was reported all that day. So, I mean, if she saw a military guy or a military-like guy with Klebold, who probably ended up killing Klebold afterwards. That just makes me think that, yeah, people died there. You know, it wasn't a hoax, but it's not what it was presented to the public as. Two, this time, one of the rarities, two lone nut idiot teenagers. And you know what I mean? Because most of these shootings, the witness reports, they'll see two, three, four guys, and then it'll get whittled down to the one guy who was on psychotropic meds and all this other stuff, you know? And then all those news reports go away. That those news reports are fascinating to me because that's most likely the real deal. Like the truth. I love how people, I know I'm all over the place because I got a thousand things coming in my head, but most debunkers like to say the initial reports are usually the most inaccurate and wrong. Yeah. Witness statements, the witnesses that saw with their own eyes, they're not to be trusted. It's almost like the false memory syndrome that they created to smear those little children that were molested. You know, it's almost that kind of thing. But it actually, in reality, those initial reports and those witness statements, that's probably closer to the actual truth than, you know, whatever narrative that they have, you know, down the pike, like that the mouthpiece is like to drill into everybody's head, you know. And Dave McGowan said that it's a mass version of traumatic mind control, basically, trauma-based mind control. And he said John F. Kennedy's murder was a good example because they blew his head off in broad daylight on a street corner in Texas, and it wounded the nation after that. You know, they said the innocence is dead, that type of thing. A lot of people were sad. Well, and then we had the assassinations in the late 60s, killed more hope. So this has been like increments, you know what I mean?
We got Reagan in 1980.
Yeah.
We got what they did to me in 1986. They did the Challenger space shuttle.
Yep.
We got that. Then we go on. We get
Columbia too. Something shot that down too. There was footage of that too in 2003.
Yeah.
That got disappeared.
Yeah. And then we got Oklahoma City and,
then
9/11. And then
you got Waco in there and all of those too. Like JFK, all of these things.
JFK Jr. was probably most likely going to run for president, not with Donald Trump, but on his own or whatever. And I really do feel like if it would have been a lot harder for them to pull off 9/11, if you got the son of John F. Kennedy in the White House. So a lot of people also like to think that Hillary may have, you know, had something to do with John's plane blowing up too. But I don't know. But I have my thoughts. But some people blame W because he was on the presidential campaigning at that time, and then his whereabouts for that weekend that John's plane disappeared, his whereabouts to this day are not known. So, you know, was it an initiation type thing? Because some other people reported that Poppy Bush, George H.W. Bush, was seen near the hangar at the New Jersey airport that John Jr.'s plane was at with his son, W. But who knows? You know what I mean? It's all, and some people say that Poppy Bush was in Dealey Plaza. Is a picture, but I don't know.
Yeah, but he doesn't know where he was that day.
Yeah, exactly. There's that too. Yeah. Then there's a police report. No, not a police report. J. Edgar Hoover had a report of a George Bush from the CIA. It's a memo that's declassified. George Bush from the CIA from Houston and linking him to being in Dealey Plaza too.
Yeah.
It's all connected. And, you know, I don't think there's a left and a right. I think it's all the same. It's like wrestling, like Jesse Ventura would say. I think he was right. They're all buddy-buddy backstage, but then one's got to be the heel this time, and the other one's got to be the hero. You know, it's all a bad show. You know, like George Carlin would say, I'm not participating. He's like, I'm here for the show, you know, that type of thing. Me too. It's just like, You know what I mean?
A lot of people are like, man, I wish George Carlin would have been here to see this, to get his take on it. And I forget who I heard say it recently, but it was exactly how I feel. It's like, I'm glad George Carlin's dead because there's probably a chance he would have like worn a mask and pushed vaccines.
Oh God, that would have killed me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Well, I don't know, but sure, maybe.
I don't know, but he's not here, so we don't know. You know, yeah. I mean, it's sad how many people I was disappointed by in 2020.
Jesse was one. Yeah, Jesse was
Ventura.
One.
Yeah, Jesse Ventura is a great example.
I was huge into him. You know, it's heartbreaking. I chalk it up to he's just an old man now, so he just gave up the fight or whatever. You know?
Yeah, if you go
and would Carlin be an old man now who's lost his fight against something?
But like I don't know because he was an old man when he died, and he was still that last. Like I met him about a year before he died, and he was even more fiery, like what he was saying, and he was calling out, you know, the government shit all the way to the end. So,
see, I'd love to think you're right. I'd like to think you're right, but I'm glad that he can't be proved the wrong way. Yeah, the other way.
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not saying there's evidence that he would have said that, but there's a chance,
right?
I mean, we saw Noam Chomsky said that he kind of supports the government killing unvaccinated people. So, you know.
Well, you know, at one point in my life, I felt the same way about Frank Zappa because I thought Frank Zappa was so straight on everything.
You're not going to like it.
And now I'm not sure that. Yeah, exactly.
He pointed it out, with his weird scenes inside the canyon.
Yeah, at the log cabin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so
unfortunate. Yeah.
You know, I'm open that anybody can not be what I think they are.
Don't meet your heroes, man.
Look at Jim Morrison. You know who his father was? Dave McGowan pointed this out. Mm-hmm. His father,
Admiral Morrison.
Yes, and the Gulf of Tonkin incident.
Gulf of Tonkin. He started all that shit.
And that's Jim
Morrison. There's his son. Dad.
Yeah. And he had no musical talent that he admitted to. Mm-hmm. So where the hell did all of a sudden all that shit, that stuff come from? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it brought down the anti-war movement because hippies. I mean, they were pushing. Oh, we're just going to bottom out. Peace and love, sure. But the real anti-war people, they got swept away. And then the other component of that was Charlie Manson. The other part of it. So they say, oh, if you're a hippie now or whatever, you're going to be like those Manson family people. So. It all gets tied together.
Yeah. Chaos is a great book.
That's what I'm saying, though.
I need a copy, Adam.
I guarantee you, though, that I know, like, that's the thing. I'm not arguing with people when I say this. They got to read Dave's book, Weird Scenes Inside the Canyon. Because Dave wrote a lot of this before Tom O'Neill. Because I talked to Tom O'Neill, and he didn't really want to get into the whole Dave McGowan of it all. And I'm not saying he took any of his stuff, but a lot
what,
of people.
What was he saying that he didn't want to entertain the idea that the whole Laurel?
No, he didn't want to entertain the idea that he had no idea who Dave McGowan was. And I'm like, he was writing a lot of the same stuff that you did in your book, Chaos. And now no one knows Dave now that he's dead, but everyone's singing your praises. I'm not saying, I'm not accusing, but I'm saying, have you ever heard of him? And he wouldn't give me an answer. And I'm like, of course you've heard of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a dick.
But, well, he could be a good guy. I mean, he was an older guy. He wanted money to be on Don's show or something. I'm like, it's not really like that. I mean, yeah, I guess you were on Joe Rogan, but he could afford to pay you. But we're just, publicity, I thought. You know, it's not like we're getting paid or anything. I wasn't getting paid. I was just a researcher for the guy, you know, and get him guests.
Yeah, I mean that appearance on Joe Rogan sold him probably $1 million bucks. And before that, like, he was Greg Fitzsimmons' neighbor who was like super depressed and down and out, and Greg Fitzsimmons suggested him to Joe Rogan. I mean, that's the story. So I can't I gotta talk to Don. I can't believe he asked Don for people are always demanding money from Don for funny stuff, like so Tom O'Neill wants money to be on Don's show, and then Don is about to go on X-22 Report or something, and the guy wants like $3,000 from him or something.
More than $5,000,
to go on X-22. Don's a funny guy, man. I love that guy. So
yeah, me too. He took me out. I went. I'm like one of the only people from this internet thing or whatever that has actually met him in person. So he took me out to eat.
Right.
No, but Don sings Dave's praises too, you know.
Yeah.
Because The dog, because Dave's work woke Don up to like even the moon stuff, you know.
Yeah, he talks about it a lot. And
Don gives
Don's
credit
on,
where credit's due. A lot of researchers don't.
yeah, and Don's on Chud X and I's on same wavelength as being a full on, maybe not going all the way, but at least saying he is a globe denier. So, and I am comfortable saying I'm a globe denier. So it's pretty
I
cool
don't
that.
know. I can't make fun of people that are, I don't want to make fun of people that are, you know, like the hollow earth, the flat earth. But because, like, the moon thing, I question. So, and people make fun of moon people. I was there. I don't know. Nothing at this point surprises me. And it's
You
kind of
haven't been
sad.
to space, so you can't say what the shape of the Earth is.
Yeah, I've only been to like right where like the atmosphere disappears, and then I flew back down because there was kryptonite in the atmosphere. You know what I mean? I just
Yeah.
can't deal with that. Allergies, you know. I don't know, guys. Like even the simulation theory. I mean, anything's possible. You know what I mean?
I love simulation theory. I don't necessarily buy it, but I can get pretty into it.
But when
Yeah.
people say like all this actually happened thousands of years ago and we're living in the replay right now, that blows my mind a little bit
Yeah,
too.
right. Everything was created last Thursday.
Yeah.
It all started last Thursday.
And now it's thousands of years later. And
Yeah,
it's like, well, I didn't even get to see Bill and Ted 3 yet. Like, come on. You know what I mean? Well, what do you guys think about that, all that? Like, the underground, like, how were you introduced to the idea of the Dumbs, which I always find funny saying.
you
Like,
know, I probably heard about Hollow Earth in 2015 from Higherside Chats or something like that. And
yeah.
when I first started listening to conspiracy podcasts, and it was really, really interesting to me. And then I don't know where I came across Dumbs, but I remember watching probably 3 years ago, I saw a really cool, good, well-produced documentary about Phil Schneider
Oh, yeah.
on YouTube, and I looked around all last week to get ready for this and I couldn't find it. And
Gone.
I bought that book. I forget who wrote it, but that famous 90s book about the Dumbs. I've got that out in storage in my shop right now. I was getting into all that stuff. I got Black Helicopters Over America and stuff like
Was just
that.
gonna say Jim Keith. He's another one they killed.
Yeah, so I wanted to wait for you and Tony to do that episode before I got into it because I didn't want to
We're doing
spoil
that
it for you.
tomorrow night.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and because Chris, I live out here in rural Northwest Oregon, and I have black helicopters over my homestead on a weekly basis. Black
You
Chinook
real
helicopters.
for real?
Yep, black Chinook
I
helicopters.
had two just today
Yeah,
wow.
in
Unmarked.
Northwest Washington.
Because
Unmarked.
isn't it curious though that we refer to it as a 90s thing?
Yeah.
Because it's like it's the appearance that it's a phenomenon that just went away. But what you two just said, it's like a daily occurrence still. That's creepy to me.
Yeah. And the creepiest part was, man, when we were living like pretty close to downtown Portland, suburban Portland, but just like 10 minutes from Portland. And we saw the writing on the wall. My wife and I sold our house for a bunch of money, more than it was worth, and got 15 acres out here in the middle of nowhere. First day I got out here, they came over my house, hovered over it to like let me know like there's no escape. I think they were doing that to me, man.
I think, guess that's the only way that to do what you're doing right now is
Yeah.
something I want to do, and I'm sure a lot of other people would want to do, and that is, you know, be away from the system and everything. So
Yeah.
when you actually are successful, they have to keep an eye on you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
Or at
I
least
don't.
give you the let you know that they are there. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to say I'm more important than I am, but I guarantee I'm on
Hey,
list. I'm
anybody's
on.
everybody,
I'm on
everybody's
lists.
important.
I'm on
Yeah,
lists. You know, we're all on lists, man.
I
know
I don't
you,
think I
but
even told you about this, Adam, but about a month, maybe 2 months ago, we had a drone that was kind of gritting over. I mean, I noticed it when it was over my property, but it was moved off of our property pretty quick. But
those are
it was just
creepy.
gritting the whole area for, you know, I could see it go about a half mile in each direction, and it would go down.
Really?
I was moving my chicken tractor. And yeah. I had a headphone in and I was like, whoa, the wind is really picking up, but I don't feel it, but I could really hear it going through the woods. So I pulled out my earbud and I was like, oh, whoa, here's this drone going right over. And I was like, I don't like that. I'm going to kind of watch it and see where it goes. I want to see if it's a neighbor, you know, if it goes back to a neighbor's house or whatever.
Yeah.
And it went out of view and I kind of went back to what I was doing. And then I saw it coming back, but stepped over, you know, 50 feet or so, and then coming back the other direction. And it went about a half mile the other way. This time I didn't lose view of it. And it just moved over another 50 feet. Now it's off my property. It's kind of right over the road, right onto the neighbor across the street's property, went right down and it kept doing the same thing. It did it so much that I had enough time. I went inside and got some binoculars. Wow. And tried getting a really good view of it. But by then it was a little ways out from where I was at, but I could see there was a red and a blue light on the top, which that reminds me of cop cars. So I was wondering if it's possible, did I have a sheriff or someone looking for someone in the area or something like that? But whatever the case, I mean, the thing was just, it was just gritting. And I have to assume it came from farther on my property, the other direction as well. It just went over all of it.
Well, there's actually a case where, you know, Brittany Murphy and her death and her husband's death. Well, her and her husband were supposed to testify for their neighbor, a lady that used to work for Homeland Security that actually was a whistleblower.
I've heard this.
Yeah, they made a documentary that kind of got buried too. It's hard to find. I can't remember it right now, but
I think William Ramsey had like a long episode with like Visigoth or something from like
Visigoth. You remember
like
him?
2012 or something like that.
Yeah.
That was like her, it was her talking about all this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the accent, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And her husband's was a stuntman and they have like a production company and it's so hard to get a hold of them. So I tried for Dawn, you know. Well, what had happened was a black helicopter basically came down and did some stuff to that woman's house, and she wasn't home. You know, they were hoping to kill her or something, because when they found out that her mother, who was staying at the house, was a little too old to be the mark, they had to kind of just, you know, stop what they were doing or whatever, but there was another neighbor that was across the street that videotaped the whole thing, the helicopter coming down and everything. And that guy ends up dying on his couch. And, you know, he was luckily able to give the videotape to that whistleblower lady. But Brittany Murphy and her husband apparently saw this happen, too. And they were going to testify for them in their trial against Homeland Security. And then all of a sudden, they start getting painted in the media once again. They start getting painted as, you know, nutcases. They're on, you know, they're on benders. They're, you know, they're just drunk all the time. They started smearing these two people.
Yeah.
And apparently it came out that the coroner had some shenanigans too, because I guess they were slowly being poisoned. And because Brittany Murphy's husband died 3 months after her.
Yeah.
And it was like some weird stuff in their water supply or something.
Yeah. But Isaac Weishaupt has done some good work on that case as well. So.
But it just reminded me of like, and they did that. They had no qualms. This is the Hollywood Hills where this cop came down. You know what I mean? And not like in the middle of like a farm area or anything. This is like right in the Hollywood Hills. You know, they just landed and it was all on film because it was in that documentary, some of the footage. Yeah. And that guy died, and they still to this day have never given him a death certificate, I believe, whether he killed himself or not or what. It's the oddest thing, you know?
Yeah.
And it just gets passed off that Brittany Murphy was just, you know, one of these starlets that, you know, just partied too much. And she was paranoid. I kept saying that too in the Hollywood Reporter. And then you find out the guy that wrote the piece for the Hollywood Reporter, he's an asset, clearly, you know. And I guess there was documentation. I looked into that. I forget his name, but He was a pretty well-known reporter for the Hollywood Reporter. So he was basically putting out smear stuff, even though he had interviewed Brittany and her husband about their claims. But his final piece, he kind of made it seem like they were just, you know, paranoid delusions of like drug addicts and all this other stuff. Yet they actually did have other footage, I think, of copters intimidating them in the desert at one point too. So I don't know. The whole black helicopter thing is fascinating because a lot of the theories with that is that it's like the UN or whatever, or NATO, right? And they're not supposed to be operating within the United States.
Yeah.
And that brings me back to Columbine. There was footage, and I actually saw stills from that footage in like the mid-2000s on a website. There was a blue NATO truck parked out in front of Columbine High School early on near the beginning of the shooting. Now, why would there be a blue NATO van / truck with the NATO shield logo on the front and on the side, and it said NATO? Why would NATO be at a random quote unquote high school shooting in America? And it's the same week that with Kosovo going on too at the time. You know, yeah, it's just curious stuff. I mean, you know, a lot of people think those black helicopters have something to do with NATO and the UN and all that.
Yeah, I'd believe it.
But that footage disappeared. Can't find it.
With the Columbine,
the NATO truck. They also had footage of other suspects in trench coats jumping fences. That footage got disappeared. It was actually footage from a helicopter showing Klebold and the adult shooter shooting at the cops. But that footage was aired once and disappeared. Mm-hmm. And same with Sandy Hook. There was some weird footage too. There was Sandy Hook. I actually was able to find something for Dawn for Hidden History 3 coming up. He thought it was disappeared too, but it was a Monsignor by the name of Robert Weiss. He's giggling on the phone during an interview when he was asked about the parents of the dead kids. He starts giggling, and I was able to find that too. So you can find these things every now and then. Whether or not you want to find them, I don't know. But just like the missile videos, I don't think I'd ever really want to find TWA missile videos because there is a reason why they got, you know, banished, you know.
So, I think finding this kind of footage is getting it's getting harder and harder all the time.
I know, yeah.
It might be impossible soon. I've been doing this thing with Google. I was and DuckDuckGo, and doesn't matter what browser you use.
Yeah.
You know, where you type in whatever word, it doesn't even matter. You could do something controversial like climate change or January 6th or something, but you could also do like, but you could do something fun, you know, benign like tractors. And if you go, you know, it'll say there's 6 million, whatever, some huge number of results. Right.
Yeah.
And you go down to the bottom of that and it'll be on page one and it'll show like the highest number is like 24, you know, 10, 20, depends on which browser, which,
they're all the same articles.
Yeah. Well, they're aside from being the same articles, you click, just keep going to the farthest one it'll let you go to.
Yeah.
And it'll bottom out at like, about like 25.
Yeah.
And then it'll say Google, Bing, DuckDuckGo, whatever one you're in, it'll say, we've curated these answers to make it easier on you. Would you like to show the omitted ones? So then it starts you back at page one. Now we should be getting 6 million, right? Nope. It'll only go to like 40 or I think 52 is the highest I've seen it go to. And again, like you said, and it's repeating articles. Like you do January 6th or anything controversial, the top one every time is going to be Wikipedia. Wikipedia, Wikipedia, Wikipedia. And they're supposed to be 6 million.
Checkers. Fact checkers too.
Fact checkers. Yeah, you'll see all the same major headlines and the same fact checkers and the same Wikipedia. That's on something controversial.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, type in whatever you want. Cupcakes. I don't know. It doesn't matter. You're not, it'll tell you there are 6 million results or however many million, right? Yeah. But you're only going to find about 50 tops, 50 pages of those, which you know, I don't count it, but and I'm not great at math, but I know that's not 6 million different results.
Well, if you're really if you're really into research and all this stuff, there are different little tricks. Don, I'm not a hacker. I'm not a computer guy. I can barely open my email and find porn. You know what I mean? But for some reason, I have the ability to either put just the right keywords together that kind of brings out some of this buried shit stuff.
I think that all the stuff is out there. It's just that these search engines that we're looking at, I think within another year, they won't be for us. I'm not saying they won't exist, but they won't be for people in our sphere that are looking
like dark web shit.
Yeah, stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean? Exactly.
Because if you go on the Wayback Machine, there's other tricks with that too. It's just you have to kind of play around with that whole setup because they'll have like those Sandy Hook blogs that people had, and I'm not even talking like hoax blogs, but like actual Sandy Hook, like unanswered questions, like what were the other suspects that were in the woods, and the purple van filled with nuns. Or guys dressed in, like nuns with guns and the windows are shot out. You know, real weird though. There's other stuff besides the crisis actor thing. You know, and that always got me thinking, like, why with like the hoax thing and like Jim Fetzer and Alex Jones, they kind of like muddy the water. But with the other stuff that never gets talked about like that, there were like eight other suspects that got away or were pulled over and then let go. You know, some of them were felons, apparently. Adam Lanza's mother's car that was there was registered to a felon named Chris Rodia or something, and it had no affiliation with the family whatsoever. But they kept saying it was Nancy Lanza's car. They also said Nancy Lanza was a teacher at Sandy Hook. Apparently that wasn't the case either. And same with the Dawn Hopsprung, I think her name was. She was quoted. She was the principal, right? She was quoted. She was given an interview and quoted about how what happened when the gunman came in and started shooting. She described the whole thing. But here's the problem. Officially, she was the first one killed. So how is she given an interview to a newspaper?
Yeah.
The Newtown Beat.
There's so much evidence that's not even a real school. It wasn't a working school at the time. It was like scheduled to be demolished or something. And there's all sorts of pictures.
Well, you look at the roof from the helicopter footage alone. That kind of thing was brought up because if you look at that footage, there's all kinds of black mold on the top of that building. Why that wouldn't be up to code? There's no handicap spaces. In 2012, that was all like law by that point. Handicap spaces near the front. And if you look at the way all the cars are parked, all these black SUV, like weird looking cars, they're all parked in this weird manner. And
Think that was Sandy Hook the town, right?
It's Newtown, but
yeah, a lot of people are saying that like Newtown is some sort of like created town.
Well, there is a theory, and some people even said that Littleton, where Columbine happened, some people say the same thing, that, you know, the concept of, like, the safe house, the CIA safe house, well, the idea of a safe town where retired agents kind of keep a look after one another, mm-hmm. or they, you know what I mean, kind of where they go to retire, where they can all kind of be kept under watch, because once you're in those organizations, you're never out. You know, there's never, kind of like with the mafia, once you're in, you're never really out. So, and some people say that. I don't know for a fact. I don't know if it was a FEMA drill either. A lot of people say that too with Sandy Hook. Like with Gene Rosen, they call him Creepy Gene. He's like the guy who said that that these kids were dropped off by a phantom bus driver to his house. Like, why would a bus driver drop the kids off some random old creepy neighbor? Wait, the guy changed his story four times that day, depending on which, news crew he was talking about. He said it was a male driver at one point. He said it was a female driver. He also said he was coming home from getting coffee, and that's where he saw the kids. Then he said that he was in his house, and he was looking out the window, and he saw the kids. And it looked the story, and then this video where it looks like he's rehearsing what he's going to say, and the guy that's holding the camera filming him is like, "Oh, you're going to remember that?" And like he's stumbling over like stuff to say. I think all that stuff was put out on purpose. Like whether or not like it, I think kids, people died in there, right? It could have been just a regular false flag with this weird new Twilight Zone-y kind of element where they put in this weird stuff to make conspiracy people go, "Hey, so odd. Like, why is that parent laughing?" Like Robbie Parker was. That was a famous one that got a lot of people going, "Is this a hoax?" I think that was on purpose, part of the op. I think
look where it's led us to. It led us to that AJ trial, which might have been an
op a charade.
Too. Yeah, but I mean, that set that was the cause of that trial, and that sets precedence to cancel,
to question things, because now your livelihood can be taken away just for asking a question that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would a parent dress up in a suit less than 24 hours after his little girl is gunned down and give a press conference? And then near the end of his speech, and this is before, like, he was caught laughing and giggling right before he pretends to go, "Oh, the cameras." And then he, like, does this weird acting technique, it looks like, where he's getting into character, is what other people have said. It looks like that. But by the end of his little speech, he says that his daughter forgives the shooter. This is less than 24 hours after she was gunned down. You look at Columbine, there's no Columbine family members giggling and wearing suits and giving press conferences. If anything, they want to get the hell away from the cameras. So stuff like that is questionable. And now with the AJ trial, there's footage of the parents giving Alex Jones like a bottle of water and an aspirin and all this. They're laughing together and shaking hands. And then the lawyer for the parents like pretends to be all like a wrestler and like, "Get away from them." And, like, he's the bad guy, you know? And that trial, I'll tell you why Alex Jones is very, very questionable to me. He could have had the whole thing thrown out because all Owen Schroyer, his guy there, did was ask the question, why does Neil Heslin, I think the last name, Breslin or Heslin, why did he tell Megyn Kelly that he was holding his dead son in his arms with a bullet hole in his head? When Wayne Carver, the goofy coroner, the next day that gave a press conference, really memorable one because it acted really weird, he said the parents got nowhere near their children's bodies and that they were only identified with Polaroids. If Alex Jones was the real deal, he would have had that thrown out in no time. Alex Jones just sat there and did nothing.
Yeah.
That's odd. That's weird. So I think he was a part of that, just like I believe that Trump was a part of January 6th. You know why I believe that? Because that video footage of him saying, "Go home, we love you. We know we won. Just go home, we love you," right? His hair is a different color than it was like 2-3 hours before at the rally. He filmed that video well in advance of January 6th. So all these characters, they're, you know what I mean? Like, people are fighting with each other about, "Oh, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican." It's two sides of the same corroded, shitty coin, in my opinion.
Just that's like the same.
The Hope and Change guy was for the other people before that. He was just as bad as Bush. And I think Trump, I know a lot of Q people. I think the Q thing was to lure people in. Kind of like with the hoax thing with Sandy Hook. They lure them in with this weird footage. And then you get someone like Alex attached to it. Alex has unending money, you know. They even said his business went up after the verdict the other day. That doesn't make any sense to me, you know what I mean? Same with Trump's raid, right? Anybody who has felt betrayed by Trump, by not sticking up for them or any of that stuff, you know, who, you know, "We were going to the Capitol because our president told us to go and fight," you know, Rudy Giuliani, Mr. 9/11 cover-up, he's more inciting than even Trump is, where he goes, "What, combat by warfare or something?" He said those words. That's real incitement. But what happens? Trump goes back to the White House and pours champagne. And there's a photo of him. He has these little like red boxing gloves. Like the whole thing's a joke. And all these people that end up getting killed and stuff, thinking they're making a difference. No, they were lured in. Just like with the Alex Jones trial. January 6th commission, another BS thing, right? That gets tied to Alex now because his lawyer conveniently gave the prosecution Alex's phone. So now the January 6th panel wants to subpoena those records. It's all a sham, dude. Yeah.
Chris, I think we could talk to you for another 12 hours.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I got to get out of here. Tell everybody how they can support you and find you, what you're putting out.
Well, I mean, if you want to support me, I mean, I was talking to getting the Cash App thing just because I don't know. I feel weird about it. It's basically my name backwards, like uppercase. It's Cirque Savarg, which is what I go by on Facebook. I don't know why I did that. I'm kind of goofy. But yeah, it's Cirque Savarg, Cash App thing. The S is uppercase, and then the other S was Savarg. But it's all like together. But I have a podcast now called Get Mad with Chris Graves. It's on Ocelli.com. And I was supposed to have Kevin Smith on this week, but I think he might have gotten mad at me or something. Kevin Smith, the guy who made Clerks and all that.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, I silent Bob.
Is he cool?
He is, but I think I just got him at the wrong moment because I was asking what time we were going to do the interview. Because he gave me the day. He goes, yeah, how's Thursday? I say, oh, great. And I said, what time would be good for you? And didn't hear anything back. And then it was a whole deal. But I got a bunch of people. Like last night I interviewed a special effects makeup artist that actually worked on some of Kevin's movies. Vincent Guastini, he did all those weird trippy effects or Requiem for a Dream. He was worked on the Super Mario Brothers movie from like 93 that was like a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he worked on all kinds of movies. So
that's
the latest one. And I got the thing with Tony Arterburn, that paratrooper that we're going to do tomorrow. That's the Black Helicopter episode finally. And I just make little appearances here and there. So that's where you can find me on Twitter, C Graves Mask Guy, because I used to have it be C Graves Mask Hole, which it's not good if you want to get, you know, guests if you got like a curse like right in your handle. So I changed that to Mask Guy. So I hope I didn't put everyone to sleep.
No, man, I think everybody's gonna like this, man. I wish we had more time, but we will definitely get you back on in the future and narrow
Kurt
it down.
Cobain.
Yeah, do Kurt Cobain and Courtney. That'd be awesome, man.
Oh yeah.
She blew into the Pacific Northwest and just pretty much destroyed a bunch of people's lives in the punk rock and like alt rock music scene here. So
I confronted the guy who most likely killed him too.
Who El Duce?
No, that's what everyone's saying. No, I'm talking
that's what I love guy. Saying.
I'm saying the real guy, the guy that was actually in the house. That I'll tell you next time.
Let's hold it there.
Hold on, let's go for another 2 hours. Yeah. I want to hear this. No,
Chris, thank you so much for being here, man. And
it was an honor, man.
I think everybody's gonna love it. And
I didn't meet Deborah though, to give her my my best.
Okay, yeah, we'll get Deborah on next time. We love having her here, but we can get a lot weirder when she's not. So we'll get her on for the Kurt Cobain show. And and I'll put all your stuff in the show notes, and everybody go find Chris and listen to him with Tony on Paratruther and the Arterburn radio transmission. And thanks, Chud.
Man.
Appreciate it, guys.
Talk Chud.
Soon. All right. Bye, guys.
Peace out, everybody.
See y'all.
I'm not doing this for you. I'm doing this for me. I'm not signed on to killing all those old people or those black babies. Fuck you, motherfucking New World Order. I will get your ass to lay that. It pisses me off. You sign on to playing God, you get burned. And all you dumbasses that serve the New World Order, idiots, playing God all day. deciding who lives and who dies.
Penis man.
And then I find out they're all screwing little kids and devil worshiping. Of course they are. Oh, you're the big elites. Oprah Winfrey and Ted Turner and Bill Clinton and Epstein, all in that seven-story pervert building in New York. What a bunch of freaks. And the fact that those pedophiles, and I'm calling Oprah Winfrey one, hope she burns in hell. Every damn one of you's a piece of crap. And you're going to be judged. So you just continue to enjoy hurting babies and hurting old people and hurting homeless people and turning us all into a bunch of idiots. Because you will be destroyed.
Mom, I'm transgender.